I'd like now to welcome Pam Houston. She is an award-winning author of short stories, novels, and essays, including Cowboys Are My Weakness, which was the winner of the 1993 Western States Book Award. And she will be at the College of Santa Fe tonight as the first author in the print reading series at 6:30 at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space. The reading will be followed by a question and answer session. Welcome to the Radio Cafe.
Thank you very much.
So I read Cowboys Are My Weakness when it came out in the, I guess it was the early 90s.
Right.
And at the time that I read it, I sort of felt like it was some hybrid between fiction and creative nonfiction, although I might be totally wrong about that.
No, not at all. In fact, really all of my books live in that gray space in between. If I were queen, there would be no such thing as creative nonfiction. It would all be called fiction because invention always occurs, and it's hard to avoid one's own actual experience when one is writing. So for me anyway, all my books have autobiographical elements, although they're called fiction because, you know, I want to be free to invent as well.
So you're from New Jersey originally?
I am.
How did you find yourself in the whole world of cowboys and living in the West?
Well, quite literally, I rode my bicycle out west from New Jersey, and I ran out of money in Grand Lake, Colorado. And
you rode a bicycle from New Jersey to Colorado?
I did.
Good heavens.
And I ran out of money, literally, in Grand Lake, Colorado, and got a job as a flagger on Trail Ridge Road. Stop, slow. And you know...
The rest is history.
Got an apartment, or got a cabin, and fell in love with the whole Rocky Mountain thing, cowboys included.
How do you feel like being from the East Coast informs the way you see the West, or do you feel like you've kind of left it behind?
No, I definitely think so. I think I love the West in a very particular way that a girl from New Jersey loves the West. You know, there are things about New Jersey I love, though not very many. You know, I love the Jersey Shore, and I loved Bruce Springsteen, and I loved a lot of other kind of New Jersey cliches. But coming out here, the Western landscape really, you know, quite literally blew my mind. It opened my mind, and in many ways, it turned me into a writer. It gave me a landscape that allowed me to access sort of my inner landscape in a way. And so I do think that I love the West the way someone from somewhere else loves it. Yeah.
I think for a lot of people, we find our landscape, and it's not necessarily the one we're born into. And sometimes it's just random that we find the place where we feel at home.
Yeah, well, I randomly ran out of money in Grand Lake, Colorado. But I think that's right. I mean, I think for me, everything about the West feels good to me. If I'm away, if I'm back east, even if I'm in Europe, you know, which I love, or Asia, when I come home and get off the plane in Denver or Albuquerque, which are sort of equidistant from my home in Colorado, you know, my whole body relaxes. It's like as if there's something cellular going on, that this is the place where I feel the most at home and the most comfortable, you know, even though I was 18 before I ever saw the West.
What's your relationship to ranching life at this point in your life?
Well, you know, I have a little ranch that, by Western standards, I have 120 acres, which is nothing, and I really don't ranch. I have three horses on my property, so I've never been a rancher, per se.
Well, for those of us who live on an eighth of an acre, that's pretty heavy duty.
Yeah, well, it's lovely, and, you know, it needs care, but it's at... It's at 9,000 feet, which means that even if I wanted to raise cows, I could only raise 6 cows on it. You know, that's the ratio of acreage to animals. So it's really just a gentleman's ranch. It's I have a few horses. I have 3 giant Irish wolfhounds. I have a feral cat. But it's a beautiful, beautiful piece of property, and I'm grateful for it every single day. But it's not a real ranch by anyone's standards.
Now let's talk about the Irish wolfhounds. Being a dog person, I was delighted that dogs figure, and one particular dog named Dante figures as a real character, even mm-hmm. with some first-person narration in your book, Sighthound. Talk about your relationship to dogs and how that came into your writing.
Dogs have always been, you know, very important to me in the way I see the world, in my idea of faith, in my idea of being a good human. You know, I've always sort of taken lessons from my dogs. Dogs have always been really important to me. I I got a dog named Dante accidentally, an Irish wolfhound, which was, I had always had mutts before that, and then I accidentally found myself with this Irish wolfhound who seemed to be, you know, some reincarnation of some higher being. You know, he
like
was just,
Dante himself, perhaps?
Well, I don't think the Italian Dante. No, I actually named Dante after Dante Bichette, the Colorado Rockies left fielder. But
okay.
But no, more of kind of maybe the reincarnation of a, you know, a Buddhist Lama or teacher or something. He seemed very wise. Irish wolfhounds in general are very sort of self-contained, self-possessed beings, really all of them. And so I had just, you know, it was a life-changing experience with this dog. He, you know, as much as any other person or animal or experience, taught me how to be in the world. And I wanted to catch that in the novel, capture what a dog can really do in one's life and in a series of lives, which is why in that novel I have multiple narrators, because Dante, the actual Dante, touched so many lives. And I wanted all those first-person voices to narrate their experience of how this dog came into their life and perhaps changed it somewhat.
We're talking to author Pam Houston. What was, I guess that's your first novel. What was the transition like from short story writing to novel writing?
Well, very incremental. I had my second book was another book of short stories, Waltzing the Cat, where the stories had gotten quite a bit longer than the stories in Cowboys Are My Weakness. And when I started writing Sighthound, I really believed that I was writing a collection of short stories. That's why, that's where all those different first-person narrators came from. I thought I would have 12 different narrators telling the story of this dog, basically. And then I ran into a problem with time, and I thought, well, I wanted, for instance, the veterinarian, Dr. Evans, to narrate Dante's death. But I also wanted him early in the book. And so the next thing you knew, I had this collection of short stories with 24 stories with all the narrators speaking twice. And by the time I got to the idea of 36 stories with each narrator speaking three times, I thought, oh, you know, this is what they mean when they say novel.
and connected so stories.
I backed into it, you know, literally. I said, oh, this must be a novel. But I think I was really afraid. I think the way I write and the way I just take a lot of different pieces from a lot of different places and juggle them without any real sense of an outline or a narrative through line when I begin made me afraid to write something called a novel. I thought maybe I would always be a short story writer because there were that many balls I could juggle. You know, I could juggle 30 pages of balls, but maybe not 300. But with Sighthound, you know, it was a novel long before I even realized it was a novel. And then there was no going back at that point.
What is the role of your editor in, I mean, do you have, the person who publishes your book, I've heard, one hears that editors really don't work that much with authors anymore, but yeah,
that's
some
not true.
Do.
In my case. My editor is Carol Huck Smith, who's been editing, I would say, for something like 60 years. She's an icon. She's an iconic figure in New York. And she is old school, which means after I think something's done, when I thought Sighthound was done, I don't show it to her till I think it's done. Now I know that it's not really done. But what I'm saying is I get it to a point where I think it's fairly bulletproof. Well, from that point on, we did 7 full revisions.
Heavens.
At Carol's request.
And what kind of things did she say too many characters, cut 3? I mean, that kind of thing?
Yes, that's one of the things she said.
Really?
Yeah. But she, everything from, you know, the fact that half the time I spell gray with an E and half the time I spell it with an A, to something like that, something like this character's unbelievable, get them out, to there's too much time spent in the veterinary clinic, you know, let's get out in the landscape more, to, you know, just very, very excellent line editing. She's an incredible line editor. So it could be anything. It could be anything from throw it away and start over to how I spell the word gray.
So that kind of model must help you, because you're a teacher of creative writing now.
Yes.
Do you use what you learned from her in teaching your students?
Well, what I've learned from her and a lot of other people, I mean, one thing I want to say about Carol, and I, you know, working with her has been one of the most fantastic experiences of my life. She's one of a kind, but she's not always right, you know, either. So there's been a lot of battle. So
what do you do? How do you work those out?
Oh, we fight like cats. We scream at each other.
Not like dogs.
That's right. Not like dogs. Exactly. We fight like cats. No, we have, you know, I mean, every kind of thing you can imagine in any relationship. We've gone for weeks without speaking to each other. We've, you know, spent hours and hours in a hotel room, you know, knocking our heads together. I mean, and, you know, and eventually we work it out. But it's a very intense, very collaborative relationship, which a lot of my friends, you know, my writer friends don't have with their editors, as you said.
So you will be speaking tonight at the first print reading series, which is at 6:30 at the O'Shaughnessy Performance Space in the College of Santa Fe. And will be a question and answer series, a reception, and book signing. And there will be much more in the first print reading series coming up. Pam Houston, thank you so much for being with us.
You're welcome. Thank you.